for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, September the 1st, 2000. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
We thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord. We come before you this day, Lord God. We come, Lord. We come to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We acknowledge you, Lord, that you are our Savior, that you have adopted us into the family of God, that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, kinsman, came and paid the redemption price. He paid with his blood, Lord God. Not with the blood of goats and bulls, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place to claim us, and he redeemed us. And he made us a member of the family of God. That we are not rejected children, but we are children of God. That God is our Father and Jesus Christ is our big brother. And he is our big brother. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We declare that you are our Lord and Master. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Our Lord, open our ears that we can hear. That we can hear the reading of your word, the teaching of your word, Lord God. Put it down in our hearts. Witness it to our spirits, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, people, I've been teaching the Word of God 20 years now. I started with a little Bible study back in, 1981, so it'd be 19 years. And God would never let me use printed material. He always made me write my own material. And he's carried me through a series of revelations of his word. And the most striking revelation to me is the fact that we're all absolutely dependent upon him. Mm-hmm. That we can do no good thing without him. And that we are dependent upon him to move by his spirit through his grace to touch us, that only God can change the human heart. And we're dependent on him, that when he died and paid the redemption price for us and redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy and set us free, has set our wills free. He broke the bondage of the will. So we are no longer in bondage to sin. We do not have to obey the body of sin. That we've been set free from the law of sin and grace, of sin and death, by the law of life in the Spirit. That he sent his Spirit to redeem us. But the striking thing is that we turn to him as an act of our will. But we have to turn to him realizing that he has to do the work. And sometimes he does it in his time and not ours. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. I want to talk to you about repentance. To repent, in the Greek, metanoia, means to change your mind. In Greek, is a language of the mind. And the word to repent means to change your mind about something. Change your way you think. The Hebrew word is a word of action. And it means to turn away. To turn away. And so, the two words together for repent means to be convicted that something is wrong, to change your mind that is wrong, and then to purposely turn and to walk away from it. Now, first must come the change of mind. And let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Reading from the New King James. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. When God touches you and convicts you of sin, and you suddenly know that that is wrong, that you feel a godly conviction that that is wrong, then He enables you to turn and walk away from it, which brings you to salvation. Salvation, salvo, is a word that means more than fire insurance. Most folks think of salvation as fire insurance. You're not going to hell and they ain't going to burn. It does mean that. But it means a lot more than that. It means that you're going to be healed. One of the most common words for healing in the New Testament is salvo. It says, if you read the healing miracles of Jesus Christ, one third of the time, it says, and they were made whole. That word is salvo. They were healed. They were made whole. There's another word for healing called therapeutai, which is Jesus used about a third of the time. And from that we get our modern word therapeutics, which means to be nursed back to health over a period of time. So Jesus, all of Jesus' miracles were not instantaneous. There were several words which mean a miracle. That it means it happens like that. And that's a sign and a wonder, and I don't remember what those words, there were three of them. Remember when the centurion came to Jesus? He sent the first elder, and the elder, he said, well, I will come and therapeutize him. Talking about the centurion's servant. And then he sent more elders, and finally the man himself came and said, Jesus, you are not eligible. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my roof. I'm a man under authority. All you've got to do is say the word. And he said, I've never seen such, he said, such faith in Israel. He said, your servant is healed. And he spoke the word for a miracle, an immediate reaction. The man got an upgrade. It's the only place in the Bible where everybody got an upgrade. It's the only place where somebody got an upgrade from therapeutai to miracle that I can find. Okay. We're getting away from repentance. But repentance means to be convicted and then to change your mind. To walk away from it. And it's a gift from God. Well, what does it say it's a gift from God? Well, let's look at Romans 2:4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Okay, it's God's goodness that brings conviction of sin, that empowers you to turn from your sin. I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, God did a miracle in my life. He set me free from cursing, from blasphemy, from drinking liquor, but smoking took 5 years. I mean, those things about smoking, I was like Mark Twain. I quit 1,000 times. I'd quit in the morning, boy, by afternoon, I'd throw my cigarettes in the trash. I'm not going to smoke anymore. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd be over there trying to straighten out a cigarette butt and make it long enough to smoke, you know. That was worldly sorrow. But one day, I lay before God, and He gave me godly sorrow. And I really began to weep over it. And I felt the conviction of God, and I was able to walk away from it. Amen. And I've never had the desire again. I didn't overeat. You know, a lot of times when I'd quit smoking, I quit smoking once for 6 months. I gained 12 pounds. because I started eating instead of smoking. But I didn't. But once he touched me with the spirit of repentance, I was able to be free of that bondage and walk away. Yes. Now, that's deliverance. Godly sorrow. And one of the words for salvo is deliverance. Repentance leads to deliverance. Leads to salvation. Leads to deliverance. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Starting with verse 24 to get the context. Again, reading from the New King James. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patience, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may come to know the truth, come under conviction, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There it tells you that God grants repentance. It's a gift from God. You cannot repent without God touching you. Now, you cannot repent unless you accept it. That's the reason I say to people, if God convicts you of something, if you've got something unpleasant in your life and God convicts you that that sense comes over you that this is terribly wrong, this is sinful, that this is something that you shouldn't be doing. Even though you might be enjoying it. I mean, you might be watching the pornography there on television. It's one of these real nice programs, you know, and the jigglers are walking by and all of that. And you're sitting there and you're wondering what's going to happen. And God convicts you. Now, this is trash. This is sinful. You're lusty. I tell you, you better cut that thing off. And turn away and walk away from it. He has offered you a spirit of repentance.
Yes.
And if you don't accept it, because you want to see how this program's going to come out, it might be 5 years for you. And you're sitting there, oh, God, I can't. I keep cutting television on these horrible programs and I can't stop. Help me, Lord. Well, he tried to help you, but you turned it down.
Yes.
It may be a while before he reaches out to you again. In his time, I had a young man that was on pastoral staff of a large church. And down the street from this church were a bunch of punk rockers. And he had a full plate of duties at the church. And he went to the chief pastor and said, I would like to go down and minister to those punk rockers. And he said, you need to concentrate on what I have delegated to you. Someone else will take care of that. You need to concentrate your energies and your talent on that which I have delegated to you in authority. Now, you do that. Well, he decided those punk rockers needed salvation. Why, everybody needs salvation. It's the will of God that everyone should come to salvation. They needed help. And so he carried himself down there. And he went out in there, and there was a very powerful witch there. And she saw the spirit of rebellion in him. And she put a ring on his finger. And said something to him, and something he didn't understand. And man, he had problems. He came to me with problems. And when I told him he needed to repent, he got angry with me. And said the things I just said. And he refused to go any further. And about a year later, he came back and he was still having all these problems. It was 5 years of praying for that young man when I saw him and struggling against the demonic oppression that was coming after him. And he sat right up here one day, and I prayed for him right here. And he got out on his knees and he said, Would you please break the evil soul ties? He said, and he repented and he wept and God touched him and I laid hands on him And it flipped me and him both. And we landed about right here. And I hit one of them tiles up there with the bottom of my feet, they told me. But I landed on my feet. I did not get hurt, and neither did he. But he got free. But God touched him. That's how strong that spirit was when it came out. And it came in because of his rebellion against authority. And then his refusal to accept his responsibility for it, trying to blame it on somebody else. And he refused. And if he had accepted repentance when he... and accepted the responsibility and the repentance and asked forgiveness, he had to go back to that pastor and ask forgiveness for rebellion. That's what I told him he had to do. And he refused to do it. But when he went back and asked forgiveness and he came back, 5 years later, he finally got free. He spent 5 years in the training camp, going around and around the mountain, you know.
Yes.
You know, God lets you go around that mountain many times you want to. You just keep on going around it until you learn who boss. Now remember, Jesus Christ is boss. He's, you know, in our culture, we're raised in a democracy where everybody's got a right to their own opinion. And we vote, you know, everybody wants to vote how we're going to go. Well, the kingdom of God is not that way. Kingdom of God is not a democracy. There's a king on the throne. And to him every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he will call you and he'll grant you repentance. If he grants you repentance, accept it. Quickly. If you refuse it, it may be a while before it comes back. Now God wants you free. But if you're stubborn and you're going to do it your way and not God's way, you may be a while. Now, let's look at Lamentations 5:21. Now, Lamentations comes right after Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is praying after the fall of Jerusalem. And he's looked at the terrible things that have happened because of the sins of the fathers. If you want to see the results of the sins of the fathers, you start reading in chapter in verse 7. But we won't go through that. It takes me an hour to go through that. But read those. They're very interesting. Come down to verse 21. And in verse 20 he says, why do you forsake us forever and forsake us for such a long time? Jeremiah's asking God, why are you forsaking us? Why are you letting us so long a time? And then he says, turn us. That word could be repent us. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we shall be restored. Renew us in days of old. Turn us. Now let's hold our finger there and go to Psalms 80. And here in Psalms 80 we see that same word repeated. Only it's translated a little different. Verse 3. It said that it's translated in the King James, restore. But an equal translation is turn. Turn us, O Lord, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Come on over to verse 19. Turn us, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. One other place. Verse 7. Turn us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now, Lord God of hosts, what does that mean? It means God of the armies. God of the armies of heaven. Turn us, and we shall be saved. It is God that does the turning. And so, you say, well, and so repentance is an act of God. Something we cannot do by ourselves. We must have God's power to do this. As I said, ask anybody who's ever tried to quit smoking. You've got to repent. Irma used to say to me that if we could get people to repent of their sin, to turn away from their sin, to seek God, to turn away from their sin, demons would come out because you would destroy their legal ground. So you need to seek God to repent of the hard things. Of the hard things. Now, forgiveness. I was always taught that forgiveness was an act of the will, and all you had to do to someone was say, I forgive. And that's all there was to it. But you know, that sense of anger and rage would still swell up in me. And I'd wake up at night in a cold sweat thinking about it. And there were one or two people that knew just the right words to punch my button and pull my string. And I would just go off, metastasize all over the place. And I said, Lord, there is something wrong here. There's something wrong. Because if I forgive them, they said, well, you forgive, but you won't forget. I'm not going to forget it. And I have an example of unforgiveness I'll always remember. This friend of mine, a man that I'd worked with, and we came down on opposite sides of a public issue. He was in one position and I was in the other, and we had a disagreement over a law, an ordinance that was being passed. I took one position and he took the other. And he got angry with me over it. And we'd had a committee that had studied this thing and we'd come to an agreement. And, you know, he called me and expressed his unhappiness with my position rather strongly. And, you know, I went to God about it and God showed me he was right. He was right. The orders had been passed before he ever called me. And, you know, I called him on the phone. Well, actually, I went to see him. And I said to him, you were right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? He said, yeah, I'll forgive you. But I'm going to get you for it. I'm going to get you for it. And I didn't think any more about it. And when he had his hip got so arthritic he couldn't walk, he had to have it replaced. And I went to his bedside and I prayed for him, you know. And when he had his second hip replaced, I went to his bedside and I prayed for him. When he got really sick, I prayed for him. And I was always there. God always somehow found out. They never called me, but I always went. We prayed for him, and God was so kind to him. He had both his knees replaced for his arthritis, and he had his joints and his fingers replaced for his arthritis. And he was sitting there in the wheelchair when he was recovering from his two knees, you know. And I was talking to him. And somehow, that instance from 15 years ago came up. His face, his jaw got set, his eyes narrowed. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I hadn't gotten you yet, but I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you again, too. And I thought to myself, you poor, sick individual. I said, I'm just terribly sorry. If there's anything I can do to make it right, I'll do it. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Because this has long since passed. They changed the ordinance to his liking. I had worked to get it changed. He worked to get it changed. But he never forgave me. And I guess he's still trying to get me. I don't know. And I still pray for him when I see him. And I feel so sorry for him. That arthritis is eating him alive. The obesity. He weighs 300 pounds. He's a big man now. He's big. He was a professional football player at one time. But he's grossly overweight, and arthritis and high blood pressure are killing him. And I weep for him. I weep for him. You know, there's nothing I can do to help him. I just keep praying, except I just keep praying for him that God will touch his heart. But that man has never repented of revenge. And so I looked up forgiveness in the dictionary. You know, I had a lot of folks arguing me about what the Bible says and what the Bible means, but I ain't never had anybody arguing me about what the dictionary says. Well, let's see what the dictionary says. Forgiveness. The first is to give up resentment against. The desire to punish, stop being angry with, or pardon. That's the first definition. To repent of revenge. To give up all claim to punish or exact penalty for an offense, to overlook. And the third is to cancel or remit a debt. Just forget it. To cancel the debt, to forgive it. And what God says is that you give up the right to revenge. When you forgive somebody, you forgive them to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, God, they're yours. They're yours. I don't want any revenge. I don't want any revenge. I don't want any punishment on them. I just want you to bless them. You bless them any way you want to. However you bless them is up to you. That's your business, not mine. You know, I had this little old lady that I was working with, and I asked her if she had any unforgiveness against anybody. Oh, no. It's a sin to be to have unforgiveness. I don't have anybody I haven't forgiven them. Oh, no. And a grandchild was with her, a young son, grandson, about 19. What about Aunt Susie? Aunt Susie. I've given her to God. God can get her better than I ever can. He's gonna pay her back. I said, well, doesn't sound like to me. You forgive an Aunt Susie too well. Well, you know what she did to me. And then all this bitterness and anger and rage began to pour out of her. Forgiveness is to ask God to bless somebody. Ask God to bless them. To give up the right to revenge. That's forgiveness. It says, Jesus instructed us to forgive. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Now this verse always... Verse 12 says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. 14 and 15 says, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You mean if we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive us? That's what it says. Now, I've had some people really argue with me over that. And they gave me their interpretation, but you don't understand why that scripture was written, and you don't understand what that really means. And I just say, I can read plain English, thank you. But well, you don't understand the reason he wrote that. I said, what about Mark 11:25? It says the same thing. Let's look at Mark 11:25. I want you to look at this now. Mark 11:25. And we're going to start up here at verse 23. Verse 22, Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be ye removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will come to pass, will have whatever he asks. Therefore I say to you, because this I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray and believe that you receive them, you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so what that says to me is that you got a mountain in your life. You got a mountain in your life. You got unforgiveness. God don't hear you. But if you forgive and you say to that mountain, be cast in the sea. It'll be cast in the sea. Now let's look at Jeremiah 4:6. See, not Jeremiah, but Zechariah. Zechariah 4:6. Let's look at Zechariah 4:6 and see what it says. And counting. Zechariah 4:6. And counting. And he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. you, O great mountain. Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone. And who's the capstone? Jesus Christ. With shouts of grace to it. You have a mountain in your life, you holler grace to it, the grace of God. God's grace to it. You say grace of God to it. Grace. God's unmerited gift to the undeserving. Grace. And it shall become a flat plain. But don't cut yourself off from the grace of God by being unforgiving, by being desiring revenge on those who've hurt you or used you or standing against you. Speak grace to them, the grace of God. Grace, salvation to them. Blessings by God. I say this to you. You speak blessings, and they don't deserve blessings. They're returning to your own bosom. Well, where in the world does it say that? Let's look in the Psalms. Praise the Lord Jesus. Psalms 34, I think it is. Yep. Psalms 35. Here David is praying a prayer for God's intervention. And he's starting with verse 12. They reward me evil for good. I've been good to them, and they're spiteful and use me, and they do evil things to me, even though I've been good to them. To the sorrow of my soul. David said that just causes me great anguish to see them put themselves in such a terrible position. Because I tell you, I don't know of anything that brings such a severe curse from God as returning evil for good. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with prayer and fasting, and my prayer would return to my own bosom. And David is praying for his enemies who've returned evil for good, who spitefully used him and hurt him. He's down wearing potato sacks and lying in ashes and not eating and praying that God will bless these people and heal them. And he said, what did he say? He said, my prayer came back into my own bosom.
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay. Praise your Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Acts 5:31. Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, Peter is preaching to the council now. And he says, let's start at verse 29 to get the compacts. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. So Jesus gives repentance and forgiveness. Now let's look at Daniel 9:9. Daniel comes right after Ezekiel, right in the middle of the Bible. Daniel 9:9, and here Daniel is praying to God, and he has confessed the sins of the fathers, his sin, and then he says in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Mercy and forgiveness belongs to God. You remember, now keep your finger there, and let's go over here to Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 19. It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It says that in Leviticus 19:18, Deuteronomy 32:35. And so here we find that vengeance belongs to God and forgiveness belongs to God. To repent from revenge is a gift from God. And you need to seek it with all your heart and soul. Now, how do you seek to turn? Let's look at, you know that Jesus forgave from the cross. In Luke 23:35, it says, Jesus forgave from the cross. Praise you, Lord God. Let's look at Matthew 5:43. And him, Matthew 5:43, it says, you've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. Well, where else does it say that, Doc? Well, praise God, it's... Let's look at Luke 26, Luke 27. Luke 7, 6:27, I'm sorry, 6:27. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. Look at verse 35, and this is a key verse. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons and daughters of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is mercy. Forgive and you will be forgiven. That's in verse 30, comes down to the last part of verse 37. And then it has an interesting verse that you hear frequently over the offering. But that's not the context in the Bible. The context is forgiving. It says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For by the same measure you use will be measured back to you. Look at the context of that verse. Now, that is a problem. That's one of the verses you hear prosperity preachers preaching. But it ain't talking about offering in the Bible. It's talking about what you give your enemy. That's what it's talking about. You give forgiveness. Prayer and forgiveness and pray. It's going to be poured back into your heart. Those prayers will come back into your bosom. But if you want vengeance, you have the example of my friend who's now got four artificial legs, four artificial joints, and all the joints in his fingers, and he can't walk anymore. And he's got high blood pressure, and he's overweight, and he's a miserable man. That's what's come back into him because he was given vengeance and judgment. That's what he's done. He's been poured back into him because he has separated himself from his God. That's what it does to you. Like the little old lady who quoted Scripture. She quoted Scripture, but she called on God to do her dirty work. Now let me read a verse to you here. Let's turn to James 13. James 3:13-14. James 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. But where envy and self-seeking exist, or selfish ambition, confusion, every evil thing will be there. Now you see, those soulish prayers that go forth that reflect envy and selfish ambition or self-seeking, seeking revenge, carry with them power of being earthly, being soulish, demonic. They have demon power. It's called witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Webster's dictionary defines witchcraft as the ability to control people or supernatural events by supernatural power. when you send out demons to get you away, demonic forces, you're guilty of witchcraft. Now, lots of people do that. They have familiar spirits. They have a familiar spirit through which they're able to impose their will on others. You see it? It's commonly called Jezebel. Man, I don't want him hitting me. Yeah, brother, you do what you want to. Yeah, That, and so, witchcraft, if you look at it, it's intimidation, manipulation, domination. Women being smaller generally tend to manipulate. Men being larger and stronger tend to intimidate. But the end result is domination to get your way. It bears witchcraft power, demon power, and spoken of in James here under soulish prayers. And if that's what you do when you want revenge. Revenge brings you into witchcraft. Rebellion. Witchcraft is rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Because you're rebelling against God. Because God says, don't do that. Forgiveness, vengeance is mine. And you're rebelling, saying, I want it anyway. And so it brings you into witchcraft. And it brings you under. It opens the door for evil spirits. It opens the score to be dominated. To have these things come into you. Now, that which you serve, you'll worship. Or that which you worship, you'll serve. And Jesus said, if you serve sin, you'll become a slave to sin. He says that in John 8. Romans 6:16 says that whatever you yield your members to, you will become its slave. Whether to slave to sin or unrighteousness or slave to righteousness. Whichever you worship, whichever you yield to, that is what you will become a slave to. Make no mistake about it, you're going to serve one or the other. And unforgiveness brings you in to demonic power. It cuts you off from God because it puts you in rebellion and witchcraft. And forgiveness, people, is a gift from God. And how do you get it? You pray for your enemies. God is very plain about it. You pray for your enemies. The verses I gave you in Luke and Matthew very plainly say, pray for your enemies. Well, where are the examples in the Bible? I can give you two. The first one is Job. Let's look in the last chapter of Job. Chapter 42 of Job. And Job is right before Psalms. Now, all of you know about the story of Job, I think. Job was a fine Pentecostal preacher. And he was righteous man before God. And he sacrificed to God. And he prayed for his family every day. And one day, the sons of the angels went before God. And you know, the devil can change himself into an angel of light. Did you know that? The kids asked me one day, said, does the devil still have access to God? And I said, yes. It says plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that the devil can change himself into an angel of light. And so he walked in there with the rest of the angels. And God knew who he was, and he looked down at him, and he said to him, have you noticed my... He said, where you been? I've been walking to and forth through the earth. He said, you noticed my servant Job? And none righteous like him. He said, yeah, you blessed him so much, you got a hedge around him. If you take that hedge away and let me take everything he's got, and he'll curse you to your face. And so you know that God allowed the devil to test Job, but said he couldn't kill him. And he took all his friends, and he killed all his children, and he afflicted him with boils. And he stunk so bad that his wife threw him out on the garbage heap and called out on a dung pile and called him and told him, curse God and die. And he was out there scraping his sores with a piece of broken pottery because he itched. And three of his pastor friends came to see him. And they sat down and they looked at him. He looked so bad they couldn't speak for a week. They just sat there and just... And when they began to speak, they did the thing that gave Pentecost a bad name for a long time. They looked at Job and says, "Okay, now, Job, how did you sin and let the devil in? Come on now, fess up your sin and tell us how you what you've done that's caused the devil, let the devil do this to you." And Job said, I don't know of anything I've done wrong. I've searched my soul and I don't see anything." And so they persecuted that poor man for 40 chapters in the Bible. And they just persecuted him, something terrible. And finally, God appeared in a whirlwind, spoke to Job. And Job has been, the key to Job is here in verse 42. It's a hard chapter to read. And intellectuals, people with intellectual spirits, really love to preach out of Job. Because they just love to preach out of Job. I mean, these pastors with intellectual spirits, most of them aren't saved that have that intellectual spirit. And they can get up and talk a long time. When they get through, you don't know what they've said. But let's look at Job 42, verse 7. "And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliabite the Telemite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.'" And so if you read this book, you realize that Job speaks the truth of God. And what his comforters or accusers speak is not true. It's got error mixed in with it. Just a little error, just enough to taint it. That's what the devil does. It gives you 90% truth and 10% error. Okay. He said, "Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, and I will accept him lest I deal with you according to your folly." And so, verse 9, Eliabite the Telemite, Didabad the Sudabite, and Joah somebody else, these people all gone to glory, Lord, went and did as God had commanded them, for God accepted Job. Now, verse 10, "And the Lord restored Job's losses," or he turned the captivity of Job. "When he prayed for his friends, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Now, when Job prayed for those people who'd been sitting there tormenting him through 40 chapters and said, "God, forgive them and touch them and bless them," God forgave their sin, but he healed Job and restored his losses. Well, where else does it say this beside Job? Well, there's another very interesting place. Let's look in Genesis chapter 20. You all remember the gentleman named Abraham. And Abraham went into the land of the Philistines, and his wife had been restored by God, and she was such a good-looking woman that he thought, surely these people are going to kill him for his wife. And so he said, "You know, you tell them that you're my sister and not your wife." He was his half-sister. And she did. And the king did indeed take Sarah into his harem. And God appeared to the king in a dream and said, "That man's my prophet, and you stole his wife." And he said, "Well, I did this out of the cleanness of my hands, Lord. I didn't know any better." He said she was his sister. He said, "You give her back or I'm going to kill you." That's sin, man. And so he went to Abraham, carried his wife back with a trespass offering. And let's see what it says here. And he says, verse 17. "So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his maidservants when they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Now, look what happens to Abraham in the next chapter. Next verse, you know, the chapters are artificial. They were added in the Geneva Bible to make it easy to find things in the Bible. Before the Geneva Bible, there was not chapters and verses. And the Lord visited Sarah. And as he had spoken, the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, and she conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. They'd been praying for and standing for this child for 13 years. When Abraham prayed for Abimelech, Abimelech went to him and said, "Man, my women aren't bearing children anymore because of the curse of your wife, me taking your wife. Pray for me that my women will bear children."
Yes.
That's what it says. God, Abraham prayed for him. What did God do? He opened Sarah's womb. They've been standing for that child for 13 years. They've been walking and standing for that child. For longer than that. Because, you know, that 13 years ago, she had gone to him and given him a handmaiden and said, "Well, God's not going to give me a baby." He said, "Maybe he means to do it through this handmaiden." And for 13 more years, they stood. And then God, when he prayed for his enemy, God opened. He forgave the man who stole his wife. Now, most people think she was only there at night, but for them to know that God had closed all the women's wounds, I think it took a little longer than that. The Bible doesn't say how long. But God opened the wound of Sarah when Abraham prayed for his enemies. And there are two examples in Scripture. If you want forgiveness, you want to be able to be set free of the pain and the sorrow that comes, and be able to forgive your enemies, pray for them. And God will touch you. Now, what he does to your enemies is his business. If he blesses them and raises them up and gives them a fortune, that's wonderful. If he brings them to salvation and they get a wonderful ministry over here, that's wonderful. That's God's business. But your business is to pray for them, that God's will be done, that they will come to salvation. They will come, and God will touch you and set you free, that you can move on in your life and glorify God. And that's what you need, is to be able to be set free and move forward. And so I say to you today that we need to do lots of things, but we need to touch and ask God to touch our hearts and release into us a spirit of repentance from revenge, to set us free from revenge, to set us free from witchcraft and rebellion, set us free of wanting revenge, to want to see things happen, and ask God to grant us that spirit of repentance, that we might repent from wanting revenge for anybody who's ever mistreated us, ever hurt us, because it will open the door to God's blessings in your life. God will pour out his blessings on obedient people. And he says, "Forgive, for I have forgiven you." He says, "Forgive, and I will forgive you." You don't forgive, you go to God's jailhouse. It says so in Matthew 18. He says you go to the tormentors, to the torturers, to the jailhouse, depending on which translation you have. But I tell you, they all sound like pretty uncomfortable places to me. And I've been in all three of them sometimes, I feel like, before I came to realize that I had to pray for those people who hurt me. And I've been there, people. I tell you, I've been there. I don't want to stand up here and give you personal testimony, but I've been there. And it wasn't until I came to realize that I had to pray for my enemies, that was God's will for my life, that I should pray for everyone. Vengeance is God's business. That's God's business. God does what he wants. He boss. Now, if he is your Lord, now that is a word that implies absolute ownership.
Yes.
If he is your Lord, then he's boss. And he will bless you abundantly as you walk under that anointing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. You've been sitting for over an hour now. And it is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny will endure. Everybody stand up and let's praise God and jump up and down a little bit and hold up your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord God. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord God. Praise Your name, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank You and we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord. I want to lead you on a prayer. Say,
dear Lord,
I believe
Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He was manifested in the flesh.
He died on the cross for my sin.
Was raised from the dead
for my justification.
He ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of the Father.
High and lifted up.
Ever to make intercession for me.
I am a child of God.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I have been redeemed.
I am accepted in the Beloved.
I am not a rejected child.
I am a child of God.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I hold up my ancestors.
I repent of their sin.
I repent of my sin.
I ask forgiveness
under the blood of Jesus Christ
that the curses might be broken
on me
and my children forever.
In the name of Jesus,
I repent of these sins
back 20 generations
in the name of Jesus.
I thank You, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I forgive
everyone
who's ever hurt me,
ever used me,
abused me
in any way.
I ask You to bless them, Lord.
I repent of revenge.
I ask for the spirit of repentance
to touch me now,
that I might turn away
in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus,
bless me.
I confess the sin of rebellion
and witchcraft.
I ask forgiveness.
I ask that the curse be broken on me
and my children forever.
Thank You, Lord.
Lord Jesus,
set me free
from
the sin of divination.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
break the curse on me
and my children
forever.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, I call upon You.
For it is written in Your Word,
in Joel
3:32,
anyone
calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Deliver me now, Lord,
in Jesus' name.
Thank You, Lord.
Praise Your holy name.
Amen.
Let's sit down now, folks. For those of you who have never been in a mass deliverance service, we're going to call out some spirits. Spirits mean, the word for spirit in Greek is pneuma, which means air. Like a pneumatic tire, like pneumonia, it means breath or air. And normally spirits come out through the breathing passage. They can come out as a sigh. They can come out as a scream. They can come out as a cough. The word cast out means to give a quick jerk and vomit. Sometimes you'll vomit. But what happens, let it happen. What happens, let it happen. You're worried about your dignity? I tell you this. If you got to choose between your dignity and your demons, let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. That's right.
Don't worry about other folks around you, what they're going to think. They worry about that. They want to get rid of their demons. They're not watching you. Just let your demons go. Let happen what happened. Don't sit there. I've seen people sit there and hold tight and just refuse. Now, you can hold your demons in. You can keep them. God won't deliver you from your friends, but He'll deliver you from your enemies. So let happen what happens, happen in the name of Jesus. Now, we're going to call out the names of some spirits. We're going to call out the names of some sickness. I don't use printed list. I have always ministered by word of knowledge. And so we'll start. Almost everything, the original sin was rejection. Eve rejected the word of God. Rejection is both a noun and a verb. And she felt that God had rejected her and withheld His best. That's what the devil told her. And so she rejected the word of God. And the outward sign of rejection as an action, as a verb, is rebellion. You rebel against God's law. And so we start with rejection. And nobody in this room has never, I don't think there's anybody in this room who's never felt like they've been rejected. I've never met anybody that hadn't at some time, at some place in their life, felt that they were rejected. But in Jesus Christ, you have been accepted in the Beloved. Yes. You are not a rejected child. And so we bind the spirit of rejection. Now I come against the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejection, I bind you in Jesus' name. I say to you that these are children of the living God. I want everybody to put both feet on the floor. Don't cross your toes. Don't cross your hands. You remember when you were a little kid, you said that you crossed your fingers, you know, you didn't have to tell the truth, cross things, you tell a lie because you had your fingers crossed. That's a witchcraft sign. The devil sees you got something crossed and says she don't really mean it. She ain't telling the truth, she don't mean it. And he's a legalist. And so just keep both feet flat on the floor and don't cross your hands. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of rebellion in Jesus' name. I speak to you, rebellion. I say that these, the children of the living God, they've been accepted in the Beloved. And I bind and break the power of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejection, I break your power. Come out now. I bind the spirit of a lack of love, a denial of love, a feeling unloved and unwanted. I break your power in the name of Jesus and release the power of adoption in their lives. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of lust, of turning to the world for love, of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I break the power of lust in the name of Jesus, of sexual lust, of lust for money, of lust for position, of lust for power. I break the power in the name of Jesus Christ, and I release the love of God in the name of Jesus. I break the power of being always right, of having to be right, or afraid to be wrong, afraid of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. I break the power of perfectionism, of fault-finding, of criticism. I break the critical spirits in the name of Jesus. Critical spirits, I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I break the power of revenge and unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. I break the power of unforgiveness and revenge in Jesus' name. And I release repentance in Jesus' name. I break the power of unforgiveness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, unforgiveness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, desire for revenge in the name of Jesus. Come out, revenge in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, get even now, spirits. Come out, I'll get even. I won't get mad, I'll get even. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All unforgiveness spirits. Spirits of getting even. In the name of Jesus, all revenge spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion, rebellion against the Word of God, rebellion against authority, rebellion against the boss, rebellion against the man in authority, rebellion against the church, rebellion against God's Word, rebellion against husbands, rebellion against wives, rebellion against parents. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind rebellion in the name of Jesus. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of manipulation, intimidation, domination in the name of Jesus. I break their power and command them to be gone. I bind the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Jezebel. I break your power. Come out, Jezebel.
in the name of Jesus. I break Jezebel's power in Jesus' name. I break the power of Ahab. Come out, Ahab. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. The spirit of Ahab. The spirit of passivism in the name of Jesus Christ. Being passive in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. I break your power, you passive devils. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you spirits of manipulation in the name of Jesus. You Ahab manipulating spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out, you lying, deceiving devils. Come out. I break the power of deception in the name of Jesus. Of lying and deception spirits, seducing spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind to break the power. I break the power of reducing spirits in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rebellion and stubbornness and bitterness in the name of Jesus. I break the power of bitterness and anger and rage. Come out, bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness. I pull it out. I pull out the knife of betrayal out of their backs in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pull out bitterness now. Bitterness and rebellion. Come out, bitterness and rebellion and anger and rage and hostility. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come out heaviness and divorce in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Divorce, immolation in the name of Jesus. I break the power of divorce and immolation in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Come out of there. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Praise your name, Lord God. I break that power in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I break the power of death and depression and heaviness and suicide. I bind you and I say, come out of God's people. You can't touch them. You can't have them in the name of Jesus. I break the power of high blood pressure in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear. I break fear in the name of Jesus. The perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ to drive out all fear. Fear. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, fear. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of the dark. Fear of water. Fear of snakes. Fear of spiders. I come out, fear of Magogu. Fear all around. I break your power and I say, come out of God's people. For the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out all fear, for fear has torment. Come out, fear, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Come out of there, in Jesus' name. All fear be gone, in Jesus' name. Go, fear. Just go. Go, fear. You can't stay around here, fear. Fears are the enemy. We break your power, fear, in the name of Jesus. I break the power of heaviness and fornication in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of perverseness. I break the power of pornography and porneo in the name of Jesus. I bind them. I bind porneo in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind porneo. I bind spirit of pornography and fornication and whoredom and lust in Jesus' name. I break its power. Come out. All whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of idolatry and whoredom in Jesus' name. And fornication and rape and incest. I break the power of incest. I break the curse of incest. Back 10 generations in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be gone. I break the curse of illegitimacy back 10 generations. And I command it to be gone. And I break the fruits of illegitimacy. I break the spirits of being a moron, imbecile spirits in the name of Jesus. I break the spirits of ADD in the name of Jesus. I break the spirits of learning disability and dyslexia in the name of Jesus. Be gone out of God's people. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power now. I break the power. Surely, Lord, you've borne all of our infirmities and all our sorrows and all our sickness and all our pain. You were wounded for our transgressions and you were bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes we've been healed. I bind the spirits now of migraine headaches. I break the power of migraine headaches. I break the power of tension headaches, of vascular headaches in the name of Jesus. I break the power of encephalitis. I bind the spirits of encephalitis, of stroke in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of stroke in the name of Jesus, and I command them to be gone. I break the power of
blindness. I speak to blind eyes, to cataracts, to blind eyes in the name of Jesus, to glaucoma in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be gone in Jesus' name. I say, blindness, be gone. Optic atrophy, be gone in Jesus' name. Go. Chorioretinitis, I bind you and I break your power. I say, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. I speak to cataracts and I break your power. I bind you in Jesus' name. I speak to deafness and tinnitus, ringing in the ears, and deafness and dizziness and vertigo. Come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to the demon of deafness in the name of Jesus. I speak to the demon of deafness. I say, open, be opened ears in the name of Jesus Christ. Deaf ears, be opened in the name of Jesus. Be opened. Be opened. I bind the spirit of deafness in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there in Jesus. Come loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. 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 Go in the name of Jesus. Go. I speak to sinus problems. I speak to hay fever. I speak to sinus problems in the name of Jesus. I speak to asthma in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I say, go asthma. Go allergies in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power and I break the curse of them in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 I speak to pneumonia and recurrent pneumonia and emphysema and heart disease in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Go! Go! Heart disease, emphysema, go! Go! Heart failure, go in the name of Jesus! Carditis, go in the name of Jesus! Go! Congestion, go! Go! Bronchiectasis, we bind you, we break your power! Pneumonia, we bind you and we break your power in Jesus' name! We speak healing and restitution to God's people. I speak to esophagitis. Go. Reflux esophagitis. I break your power. I speak to hyperacidity in the name of Jesus. Go. Duodenal ulcers. Diabetes. Go. Pancreatitis. I bind you. Crohn's disease. I break your power. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. I say colitis and prostatitis. Go. I bind you and I break your power. Urethritis and cystitis. Go. Endometriosis. I break your power. Go. Menorrhagia, I bind you and I command you to go. Infertility, I break your power. Impotence, I break your power. Dyspareunia, I break your power and I bind you in Jesus' name. Root canals, I bind you. Go. Gingivitis, I bind you and I break your power. I command you to go, gingivitis, in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Keratous teeth, go in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to the teeth now. Go. Go. Be filled with gold in the name of Jesus. Touch your people, Lord, and fill them in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Go, go, go. I speak to bad feet. Go in the name of Jesus. Claudication. Go in the name of Jesus. Diabetes and arthritis. Go in the name of Jesus. 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 Heal your people, Lord God. Touch your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rape, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Molestation, I break your power. I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Chlamydia, I break the power of chlamydia in the name of Jesus. Gardenia, I break your power. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go, gonococcus, in the name of Jesus. I break the power of them. I speak healing to God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Herpes, I break your power. I bind you and I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Shingles, I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone. High blood pressure. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fibrocystosis, come out. Collagen diseases, come out. Lupus, come out. Collagen diseases, come out. Arthritis, come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pour your spirit out now. Speak healing now, Lord. Speak healing now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Anybody got anything I didn't call out?
Vain imaginations.
Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of fantasy and vain imaginations. I break your power. I bind you. I bind you and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. 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 Turn it loose. Come out. Come out. Come out. Condalima, turn it loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there, Condalima. I break your power. I break all the power of the sins of our ancestors. All the commitment made by our ancestors. All the covenants made by our ancestors. We break them off of in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there in the name of Jesus, Condalima. Now, all you Hindu spirits, come on out of there. All you Buddhist spirits, all you Confucius spirits, we break your power. Shinsho! Shinsho, the power of Shinsho. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All of it. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Out. Every bit. Every bit. Every bit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We speak healing. We speak healing now. In the name of Jesus. Turn her backbone loose. Come out of her back. In the name of Jesus, all of you, Condalima, all you serpentine devils, all you spirits of divination, I bind you and I break your power. Come out of there in the Jesus name. All spirits of divination, all spirits of the serpentine, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of pride. I come against Leviathan, the spirit of pride. I break its power. The haughty spirit, Leviathan. I break your power in Jesus' name and I bind you and I command you to be gone. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of haughtiness. All spirits of arrogance in the name of Jesus. All spirits of arrogance and fault finding in the name of Jesus. And tale bearing and gossiping. I bind you and I command you to be gone. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Lord, fill them now. Fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord God. Everybody hold up their hands now. Let's praise God. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord. I break the curse of necromancy. Of ancestor worship and necromancy. I break the curse of necromancy, of ancestor worship and necromancy in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare free. Turn her loose now. You leave her. All you necromancy spirits, all you ancestor worship spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Come down through the sins of the Father. Be gone now. Just be gone. Every bit of you. Leave her now. You can't stay there. I release into her the Spirit of the living God. Fill her full, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just fill her, Lord. Fill her, Lord. More. More, Jesus. More of your love. Float it all out of her now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, child, and let it go. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Great God, mighty God, glorious God. Praise you and bless you, Lord. Fill us, Lord God. Fill us now. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. And crown him Lord God of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord God of all. Ye chosen seed of Abraham, ye
ransomed from the fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord God of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord God of all.
Know that you are the chosen seed of Abraham. Know that you are the chosen seed of Abraham, the elect of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace and shalom this day and forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.